Hello, friends. I'm Daniel Green, and you're listening to a Monday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Tyler Watts to look at week 9 of the NBA schedule and to help you set your lineups. Tyler, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing very well. I mean, I think most people are probably wondering where Mark is, right? Mark Roberts, who normally hosts the show, but today, you know, he's a big homeland guy, so he's watching the season finale. So he's running late. I'm not sure if he's even going to make the show today. So Tyler, you think me and you are we can handle it?
I think we'll be all right, at least until Mark gets here.
Right. So, I mean, I'm DMing, I'm tweeting, I'm texting Mark, and he doesn't look at his phone during homeland. So I mean, we'll see if he can join the show. So we have a lot to discuss though today. Again, to help you get your lineups set for week 9. Let's kick it off, man. Let's go right into some news. Lots of news, and especially news that just broke in, like right before we started taping the show. The first thing is Jason Kidd, one of the worst coaches for fantasy, DFS, whatever you're playing, is now out indefinitely. It's weird when you talk about a coach being out indefinitely. And now we have two with Steve Kerr out too. But Jason Kidd is out with a right hip surgery. And now Joe Prenti, one of their assistants, is going to be the coach. Now, it looks like Kidd's going to be out at least all of January, you know, but we're not sure exactly how long he's going to be out. But do you think in any way this is going to impact minutes? Because obviously their rotation is always in flux and, you know, Kidd is just, you know, a monster. So what do you think of that, man?
Oh, I'm hoping that this allows him just to play the guys who we really want to see for fantasy. And hopefully it gets John Henson some minutes too, since Kidd seems to hate John Henson.
I mean, dear God, I played Henson in like DFS, I don't know if it's like two games ago or his last game. The game where I love Henson, but he also fouls way too much. Like, he just can't stop fouling. And that was a game like Plumlee ended up playing really well. I think it was against it was actually against Golden State when they gave Golden State a really good game at Golden State. And Plumlee played his butt off and really well. But Henson, you know, he had like two fouls in 2 minutes.
I feel like he tries to block every shot under the sun.
He does.
That's why he fouls.
He does. It's so frustrating too, because again, like, I think the thing me and Mark talked about is on one of our last shows is that, you know, he's a fantasy point per minute monster. So if he would just get some consistent minutes, it would be helpful. I think today he played a little over 20 and did well. If he gets like 20 to 22 minutes, like, I think that's enough to basically own him in the standard league, I think.
So do I. I mean, just for the blocks alone, I mean, he got 4 blocks today in 22 minutes. I feel like this is something you got to watch for when Kidd is out. If this guy's getting those consistent 20 minutes every game, I'd pick him up.
Yeah, so I mean, the main thing I'm going to do with this is, I mean, I'm not going to make any sudden moves right now, but, you know, I'm going to watch to see how the new rotation is under this Joe Prenti guy, you know, for the first couple games. And, you know, hopefully he'll settle on a nice consistent rotation. The interesting thing about Milwaukee is that Kidd actually was settling on a somewhat consistent rotation before Monroe and the Bucks start, you know, went to a strip club, allegedly, and got into some funny business. And Monroe tweaked his knee, you know, allegedly or maybe not on a stripper pole. I'm not sure. I wasn't there. So, you know, again, we'll see. I mean, hopefully, again, if it'd be awesome if he could settle on a consistent rotation and give the starters 30 minutes, and, you know, including MCW, who's been playing great. And it would also be interesting to see if Giannis will continue to come off the bench, which brings us to something else that happened today. Giannis actually sat out today with left knee tendonitis. So are you worried in any way about Giannis at this point?
I feel like this was probably just a game of rest, and they have a short week this week coming up. So I feel like maybe they're just trying to get him some rest and he's going to be back, but it's definitely a situation worth monitoring.
Yeah, and we'll actually get into this in a little bit. So Milwaukee is one of the few teams who only plays two games this week. So Giannis might not be a player you want to roll out this week. Next up, a guy we got to talk about, made his big return today. Kyrie Irving returned against Philly. So, I mean, didn't really return against an actual NBA team. But, you know, he played 17 minutes. I mean, it's hard to even look at the box score because all the Cleveland starters, you know, including LeBron, played such limited minutes. But Kyrie looked good, played 17 minutes. He was 5 for 12 from the floor, 2 for 2 from 3-point range, 1 rebound, 4 assists, 2 steals. So, you know, what are your thoughts on the return of Kyrie? Are you ready to kind of unleash him, you know, in all your leagues?
I'm sad because Mark isn't here, because Mark is a huge Kyrie Irving fan. Mark owns Kyrie Irving in like every league this year. And I feel like Kyrie is going to be a monster. Like, he's going to take a little bit of time here to ramp up, probably a couple weeks before he starts getting the big minutes. But I feel like once he starts getting the big minutes, he's going to put up some great fantasy stats.
Yeah, and I'm totally with you. And, you know, I think, I mean, it's tough to, you know, he may, you know, maybe a week for like a week or so, they give him, you know, 24, 28 minutes. But, you know, pretty soon he's going to be ramped up, you would think, you know, above 30 minutes. And even if he's playing 24 minutes, you know, he's ready to be unleashed, you know, if you own him in any league. And I'm with you, he's going to be just a dominant player, you know, in the near future. So, but the bigger thing that I'm thinking about, though, with Kyrie returning, is obviously it impacts other guys for Cleveland, right? I mean, Kevin Love, I mean, his usage rate is now going to go down. His production is probably going to go down. So, you know, I know Love, he's been decent this year, but I mean, he had a really good stretch. The last week or so, he hasn't been that great. But I mean, I'd be a little worried if I'm a Kevin Love owner, you know. And then the other guy, you know, I actually owned in one league was Dellavedova, who's actually putting up decent production. I mean, I think his days are probably over now, and you got to drop him. And, you know, even like guys like J.R. Smith, the shots just aren't going to be there. I mean, Kyrie is, you know, his usage rate's really high. I mean, what are your thoughts on the other guys from Cleveland? What to do with any of those guys?
I feel like if you play in a deep enough league where the backup point guard for Cleveland matters, I mean, that's worth watching between him and Mo Williams. I think Mo Williams is probably going to get the minutes, and Dellavedova's probably not going to get very many minutes, so he's probably worth looking to find someone else. Mark and I actually debated on Friday's podcast about Kevin Love. So if you want to hear our thoughts on Kevin Love, you can check out that podcast. And I feel like a lot of the other guys, like the minutes are just going to drop a little bit, and also the shot attempts are going to drop. Like, I mean, I think JR is probably going to go back to what he was last year when he played alongside Kyrie and Kevin Love and LeBron. So, I mean, I feel like if you can sell high on some of these guys, now would be the time to do it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I would do if I'm a Kevin Love owner is I would pray. Well, yeah, he will. I mean, he's still a decent player. I mean, he's going to have, you know, a stretch here where he has, you know, like a week or so where he puts up big numbers. I wait for him to have that stretch and then try to do everything to trade him at that point. You know, when you can kind of sell high, because like, I just don't see, you know, Kevin Love, you know, going to be returning. I'm not even sure where he would have been drafted, but again, he's the guy that concerns me the most, just because Kyrie, just man, he's such a, you know, it's gonna be him and LeBron. Every time down the court, they basically take turns. It's interesting. It's last year, a lot of times if you watch Cleveland play, it will be similar to like LeBron's first and second year in Miami, when basically LeBron would, you know, Miami would have the ball, LeBron would shoot the first time, then D Wade would shoot it. They basically would just rotate, and that's kind of how their offense was last year. It was basically just Kyrie would shoot it one time, and then Kevin Love would LeBron would shoot it one time, and Kevin Love would just sit in the corner kind of crying. So, I mean, again, I'm a little worried about Kevin Love. So that's the main guy I'm trying to keep my eye on. Next up, a guy that I love, because I was in New York when Linsanity started, and that's Jeremy Lin. He's had two straight monster games. The first one I wasn't too excited about, even though he put up like 40 points, you know, in an overtime win for Charlotte, because Nick Batum was out. But he put up another monster game when Nick Batum, you know, was playing, and Lin came off the bench. But Lin played the most minutes on Charlotte that night. Played 34 minutes and looks fantastic. What are you doing with? Because he's available in a lot of leagues. Would you pick up Jeremy Lin?
So for Mark's rankings this week, Jeremy Lin is ranked 137th, and he is only owned in 36% of leagues. Now Charlotte only plays three games this week, but I think Lin is a guy you got to go get. I think he's playing a little bit more with Kemba Walker, and I think they're kind of making Kemba Walker a little bit more of a shooting guard. Mark and I kind of talked about this on Friday too, about how Kemba Walker is like, he's kind of not having the ball in his hands as much, and they're letting Lin and Batum kind of take over the offense. I think that Lin is a guy worth picking up just to see if this production, you know, kind of stays steady here. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, I mean, also, you know, we have someone lurking, and that's the gravy juice of Al Jefferson, who's going to come back in about 4 to 5 games. So I think that will hurt, you know, Lin's value a little bit, and his minutes might go down. But, you know, like, I'm with you. I mean, the point guard of Charlotte is really Nicholas Batum, and it's not Kemba. So Lin could take a little pressure off Batum, can handle the ball, can kind of be a more of a distributor. And, again, like you said, he can play him with Kemba. And, again, if I have a team – trying to think right now. I'm trying to look at one, a couple of my teams. I know one of them I picked up Jalen. Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on your roster, but if I have a player that I'm on that, you know, I'm not sure if I want to keep or not, I would gladly pick up Lynn. I mean, I'd like to see it, I guess, in one or two more games. Again, it's only been about two games here where he's went off. But, again, like we've seen Lynn in the past go nuts, so I'm not opposed to it. I would like to see maybe one or two more games, I guess.
I feel like now's your shot, though. Like, if you want him, you're going to have to pick him up now and just wait and see. Because, like, if not, someone else is probably going to pick him up, especially unless you're waiting on the wire after the next game. Like, if he has another good game, I feel like people are going to swoop on him.
Yeah, that may be right. So, again, pick up Lynn. I guess we're in agreement. All right, you convinced me. Pick up Jay Lynn if he's available. He does a lot of things, man. He shoots. He'll give you points. He'll give you three-pointers. He'll give you assists. He'll give you steals, actually, a little bit, too. So, I like Jay Lynn. Next guy we talk about, sadly, it may be coming to an end for the fantasy life of Zach Randolph. Last game against, you know, Memphis, they switched up their rotation just because they've been a disaster this year. And, you know, the Zach Randolph-Marc Gasol combination just really hasn't been working for them. So they basically benched Zebo. They inserted the superstar Matt Barnes. And now Zebo, I mean, last game, again, against Indiana, 14.5 minutes, 6 points, only 4 shots, 2 rebounds. Is it time to drop Zebo?
I think it is. I think it's time to drop Zebo. Zebo has always pretty much just been a points and rebounds guy. So if he's not getting the minutes, he's not going to get the points, and he's not going to get the rebounds. And so I feel like, especially if it's a standard league, I think you got to pick up Zebo. And, I mean, maybe you're even looking at Matt Barnes to pick up if he's available.
Is there any – are you clinging to hope that Zebo gets traded, though, and then he has some value again?
I feel like that's a hard thing to wait for because, I mean, like, you might have to wait till February before he gets traded. Yep. So you're holding him for, what, like almost 2 months now with little to no production? So, like, I mean, if you're in a roto league or, like, you know, you can stash him on your bench and, like, it's not a spot where you really would ever play the guy, I could see maybe holding him. But, like, in a standard type league with only 3 bench spots where you can rotate guys in, I think you got to cut him.
I'm with you. It's sad, but, you know, I think this is the fantasy life of Zebo maybe coming to – actually, no, not maybe. I think it has come to an end. So, like, I actually had him in one league. I picked him up in waiver. Someone else already dropped him. So I picked him up, and then I already dropped him today. So, I mean, I think it's just about over for Zebo. But that leads into our next guy we must discuss, Matt Barnes. I know Mark Roberts, who's watching Homeland right now, probably – and by the way, I love Homeland, so I'm kind of mad that I don't get to watch Homeland. I want to watch Homeland, don't you? We could have a nice Homeland little party.
I do. So, Mark should have invited us to his house for Homeland. I don't know what he's thinking.
I know, like, what's Carrie doing right now? I mean, it's very man, I can't wait to watch. I'm DVRing it. So, Mark, if you jump on the show, do not ruin it for us.
Oh,
so,
he's gonna give spoilers galore. You're gonna be,
I know, that'd be such a disaster. All right, so Matt Barnes. Again, Mark is not a big fan of this guy. And again, Matt Barnes started for the Clippers last year, didn't put up great numbers, but he's just been crushing. And this has been about 2 weeks straight now where he's looked fantastic. Last game, 15 points, 10 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 3 three-pointers, 6 for 14 from the floor. I'm about ready to say it. Go at him. Pounce on Matt Barnes. Go pick him up. I think he's still available in a lot of leagues. You know, it's time to make the move, I think. What do you think? Are you with me on Matt Barnes?
Oh, I'm definitely picking up Matt Barnes. Even if it's just to ride out this hot streak. I mean, he's been playing so well. The steals have been crazy. I mean, just he's been playing out of his mind. I'm definitely adding Matt Barnes just because he's getting such big minutes, and I think that he's gonna give you something.
And like that's the thing that Matt Barnes was known. He was always known for steals, right? I mean, he's really not a scorer. So I mean, the steals are back. I mean, again, like last year was frustrating because the steals really weren't there last year. Again, he basically hated Doc Rivers. So they're basically back now. I'm all in on Matt Barnes. I'm with you. So I picked him up in one league, and in most of my leagues, he's already been snatched up. But then when you look at, like, certain other leagues, it looks like he's still available in a lot of them. So if he's available in your league, I think you got to pounce on it right now. And like you said, if it's only just to ride out the hot streak, you know, then maybe just do that.
Yeah, he's only owned in 22% of ESPN leagues. So I think
crazy.
Got to go for him. Someone's got to go for him now.
Next up, my man, let's talk some Philly, some D-League basketball. It's just it's hard to talk Philly, but they made I guess some news, right? They hired Mike D'Antoni, who is known for his offense, offensive genius. Not many people get that tag. And because they've hired Mike D'Antoni, does that make someone like Kendall Marshall intriguing to you? Remember when D'Antoni was coaching the Lakers and they were just horrible. They were so bad. Then again, they were better than they are now, so maybe they weren't that bad. But, you know, one of the players who did really well for him was Kendall Marshall. And again, if you're a point guard playing under Mike D'Antoni, you're basically going to put up fantasy numbers. I guess the question is minutes here, but like, what are your thoughts on Kendall Marshall? Are you ready to kind of pick him up? Do you want to do a wait and see approach? What are your thoughts?
Kendall Marshall is a really interesting guy to me for one reason and one reason only. Okay. He's playing 17 minutes a game so far this season. You want to guess how many assists he's averaging per game, Daniel?
In 17 minutes?
In 17 minutes.
Six.
Yeah, you were a little high. 4.5. He's getting 4.5 assists in 17 minutes. He averaged in that season you were talking about with the Lakers when D'Antoni was the coach, he averaged 8.8 assists a game in 29 minutes. So I think if you're in a league where you need assists and you know how hard assists are to find on the waiver wire, I think that Kendall Marshall is a guy worth picking up. Just the hope that he gets the 25 to 30 minutes and he can get you a stack of assists.
But I mean, I guess, but do you think that he's going to get those minutes? I mean, again, I mean, like, who does Philly has Cannonball, McConnell, who they're playing right now, your boy Tony Roten, who they always give minutes to, and who's a usage just machine. So, I mean, like, will Kendall Marshall actually get enough minutes to become fantasy relevant? And, like, I think as me and you were talking pre-show, I think when they that was the plan, right, to play, once he's healthy, to play him. So
– yeah, they gave this out. I actually heard this the other day when I was watching the pregame show, and they basically said that the whole reason that they hired Jerry Colangelo was that they were doing so bad. And Sam Hinkie had a quote saying that he thought when they signed Kendall Marshall that he would be ready to play at the start of the season, and they thought that if they had a point guard who could actually run their offense, that they wouldn't be near as bad as they are right now. So I think that their plan is to give Kendall Marshall all the minutes he can handle once he finally gets healthy.
Like, I'm praying right now. No, you guys can't see me, but I'm praying because I hope that's right. I would love to see, you know. The other issue I still have, though, even if Marshall gets those assists, to get assists, you need someone to score the ball. And Philly's not – they don't have, like, the best scorers in the world. So, I mean, the number that you gave us was interesting, that he still was able to get, like, 4.5 assists in those limited minutes. But I guess, who's he going to get assists to? I guess Okafor and Covington? I mean, it's not the easiest team to get assists to, but I'm with you. I even have one league where I have I'm positioned nicely in the standings, but I just need assists. So I basically picked up Kendall Marshall, and like I can wait it out for a couple weeks to see what happens. Because, you know, again, it's me and you were talking pre-show. This is a guy capable of getting you 8 to 10 assists, and that's enough to help you like win your league. There's not many guys available like that on the waiver wire.
Yeah, and I feel like something that a lot of people miss too is like they say, oh, well, he's not going to get the assists because the team's so bad. That Lakers team he played on in 13-14, like once Kobe went down and he was getting a lot of the assists, was not a good team.
Right, but the difference there is they were still okay offensively. They just didn't play defense. So, you know, so they would still score the ball, but it was just a layup line on defense for opposing teams.
I feel like Philly is going to be like kind of the same way though. Like, I mean, if you look at a lot of their game logs, like they get decent points. It's just, you know, they give up so many. I mean, they lost 106-27 to Atlanta this week. They lost 107-97 to New York. It's like, now they do have the occasional game where they get blown out and only score 60 like they did against the Spurs. But I feel like they do a decent amount of scoring, even if it's in garbage time.
Yeah, I guess I haven't paid much attention to how many points that they were putting up. And then also getting D'Antoni. I mean, hopefully – you know, that will influence the offense that they're running. I don't even know what kind of offense they are running. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully that the offense production will go up, which will increase Marshall's value. So, like, I'm with you. Like, I think the potential is obviously there. I added him in one league already. Like, if you add him right now, I think you're taking a risk. but the upside's there. So, more Philly news. It's always good to talk Philly basketball on the show. All right, why don't we move on to some of the scheduling this week as we got to set our lineups for week 9. So we got to look at teams that only play 2 games. There's only 3 of those teams this week. Golden State, Toronto, Milwaukee. Are there any guys from those teams that we want to start? I guess Curry. You can throw Curry out. Let's still play Curry. You know, if you're in a weekly lineup lock league. Is that right? A weekly lineup lock? I don't know what the hell you call it. You know what I mean?
That's what you call it, yeah.
So obviously you still want to play Steph, but besides Curry, what else do you want to do with these guys? These teams.
If you head over to the dailyfantasybasketballpodcast.com, you can check out Mark's week 9 rankings. He posts them for everyone before he got into his homeland. Okay. So he's got the list of 2 game guys. He's recommending there's only 5 players you start in a standard league. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, 5 players you start in a standard league. Steph Curry, Kyle Lowry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Greg Monroe. I kind of agree with him. The only other 2 guys that maybe starts would be DeMar DeRozan and Giannis. I think you probably sit Giannis now because you don't even know if he's going to play in those 2 games. I mean, he sat out tonight. Maybe they just give him a week to rest since they only play 2 games. So I think DeMar DeRozan is really the only guy. Are you starting DeMar DeRozan this week?
I mean, he's such a one-trick pony, man. All he does is score. But, I actually would start him. Like, the last few weeks, he's played really well, and he's been actually filling up the stat sheet. I actually did – we can get to that later in the show. I did a no halftime challenge with DeMar DeRozan, and I thought I was going to dominate. I had DeMarcus Cousins against DeMar DeRozan, and I lost. Can you believe that for today? So anyway, that should tell you. Based on that alone, I am going to play DeMar DeRozan this week. But you know, but again, he's on the fence. The other guy who intrigues me more is Greg Monroe. I mean, I need to check out who Milwaukee's playing. Are there any like strip club joints in those cities? Like, are they in LA this week again? Who are they playing? Who are the Bucks playing? You do some deep analysis into the Bucks.
1 second, I'll get you. The Bucks are playing. Let's see here.
Like, if they're in like Utah, then Greg Monroe, give it a go. I mean, he can't go out and party there.
The Bucks are playing Philly and Toronto.
Interesting.
They play Philly on Wednesday and they play Toronto on Saturday.
Toronto's a fun city, man. No, no. Kidding aside, I mean, I guess I'd play Monroe too. It sucks when you have these teams that only play 2 games a week. But I guess I would play Monroe and DeRozan. Again, DeRozan gives you. I mean, he really is mostly scoring dependent player, but he can do other things. And recently, he's been a pleasant surprise in terms of getting your rebounds, getting you a few assists. So I'd still roll him out too. But I'm with you. I would not play Giannis this week, especially with the knee issue, the knee tendonitis he has right now.
Yeah, and they don't play, like I said, they don't play until Wednesday, so you're not going to get any information before you have to set your lineup. So I'm thinking you just sit him this week, play it safe. You know, it's only 2 games. You're not going to get that much from him even in the 2 games, so I'm thinking he's a definite sit for me this week.
Yeah, I'm with you. Moving on, let's next talk about – so this is an interesting week because there's only 2 times where there's no NBA games. One is Thanksgiving Day, and the other is Christmas Eve. So this is the week of the holidays, of Christmas is on – I think it's on Friday this week. So there's no games on Thursday. There's actually – so if you look at the week, there's 9 games Monday, 4 games Tuesday, 13 games Wednesday. Again, none on Thursday, 5 on Christmas, 13, again, a big monster slate Saturday, and then 4 games on Sunday to end the week. So it's a weird scheduling, you know, week. You have those 2 days where there's, you know, again, 13 games. Did you notice anything interesting from this wacky week of holiday basketball?
So the first interesting thing I noticed is there's no back-to-backs on Monday and Tuesday. So that –
really rare, right?
So that is freaking – that's bad if you want to try to, you know, save your matchups. You're going to have to pick up a guy on Monday. You're going to have to pick up a guy on Tuesday. There are some back-to-backs on Tuesday and Wednesday. The other big schedule takeaway I got is for quality games, there's only 3 teams that play 2 or more quality games this week. They're Denver, Miami, and Memphis, and they all each only play 2 quality games. So if you're looking for guys to pick up that will you'll definitely be able to fit in your lineup in a head-to-head league this week when you pick them up, the 4 guys I got are Jameer Nelson, Gary Harris, Matt Barnes, and Mario Chalmers. And they're all owned in less than 50% of ESPN leagues.
Chalmers is an interesting guy. Like, go ahead.
I feel like Mario Chalmers, like, gets underrated when, like, you know, from what he's been doing, just because, you know, like, he had the bad stigma in Miami that he was not really very good for fantasy. But I feel like this year he's been doing pretty all right.
He was actually pretty solid last year. I own him in a league. And he, people are so used to just, like, you know, especially, like, when LeBron was there and even, like, D-Wade, like, Mario would always be, like, the fall guy. And you'd always see, like, you know, memes or GIFs of him getting yelled at. But he actually put up, like, decent fantasy value. And he does a lot of things. Like, he, you know, his shooting percentage isn't that great. But he'll get you threes. He can score a little bit, get you some assists. And he gets you a lot of – he can get you some really good steals as well. So Chalmers is intriguing, especially if you can get some consistent minutes for Memphis.
Yeah, and I feel like he's a good pickup too, because, like, you can pick him up on Monday and – or on Tuesday and Wednesday. They play a back-to-back. Then obviously nobody plays on Thursday. Then you got the Christmas Day slate, and then they play another back-to-back on Saturday and Sunday. So they play two back-to-backs this week. So usually that means a lot of times that in the second of a back-to-back, the bench guys get a few more minutes too. So he might even get a little bit of a minutes boost this week.
All right, let me ask you this question. So I'm looking at the Week 9 rankings in a daily fantasy basketball podcast.com, and currently Will Barton is third, and Gary Harris Will Barton is the third-ranked shooting guard, and Gary Harris is the 10th-ranked shooting guard. So would you rather have Barton this week than Gary Harris? Even though, because, again, Gary Harris, when healthy, does start for Denver.
Well, they're both playing the two quality games. So, I mean, that's kind of a wash. I feel like Barton is a good guy for fantasy just because on any given day, he can get you a large amount of any category. Like, he fills the stat sheet. I mean, he's had some crazy games this year where he's gotten a lot of, I don't know if you want to call them unexpected stats, but, like, just stats in different areas. So, I mean, if I'm doing a one-game streaming, I think Barton has, like, a lot of upside to just kind of fill the stat sheet up.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm actually, like, a Barton fan, but I know, like, Mark is not. And, like, Mark, like, just unloaded on me for, like, 15 minutes during a podcast, like, railing on Barton. And
I feel like Barton may not be the best, like, real-life basketball player. Like, in the same way Tony Roten does sometimes, like, he does some stuff on the court that you're like, why would you do that? But – like, for fantasy, he's great. I mean, he's averaging almost 6 rebounds, 2 assists, over 1.2 steals, almost 15 points a game this year, shooting 45%, averaging 1.4 threes. I mean, I feel like for his fantasy, like, he's good.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. And, like, I use him a lot for DFS. Now, in DFS, his price on most sites is always a little bit too high for me. But I'm with you. I think he does have fantasy value. And, you know, like, every week I look at the rankings and Will Barton's always very high for shooting guards, and then I always, you know, send Mark a tweet. I'm like, look at your boy, you know, Will Barton, who you railed on for 15 minutes on a podcast. So, I mean, it goes Harden, Butler, Barton. That's pretty good.
Mark secretly likes him. He's ranked third in his rankings. Mark secretly likes him. He doesn't want to tell us.
Maybe. Which brings up an interesting point that I know if we're going to get you on the show, but let's quickly discuss it. Klay Thompson proclaimed himself as the best shooting guard in the league. Do you agree with that assessment? And by the way, I hate Klay Thompson personally, but go ahead.
I feel like shooting guard is kind of a weak position now. So he might be right by default. Like, I mean, I don't really think James Harden is a shooting guard. Jimmy Butler may be better shooting guard than him.
Right if now. If you between Butler and Klay, for fantasy, who would you rather have and in real life?
In fantasy, I actually had that decision in one league this year, and I picked Jimmy Butler. In real life,
was that in the draft? Were you drafting?
Yeah.
How high did you draft Jimmy Butler?
It was like the 14th pick, and they were both available, and I picked Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, because I had the 12th or 13th, and I went freaking Klay. Even though Klay's been fine, especially as of late, but I'm just not a big fan of Klay, especially because he cheated on his girlfriend, who was Hannah Stocking. If you Google Hannah Stocking, you can very lovely lady, and he cheated on her. Again, I should say allegedly, and also, like, Klay just won't shut up these days. I don't know what got into him. After the Bucks beat Golden State the first time, you know, Klay, like, went nuts, and he was saying how, you know, he can't wait for the rematch. And by the way, Milwaukee should have beat them again. Now he's saying he's the best 2-guard in the league. He's starting to annoy me.
I feel like Klay offers – those three-pointers that Klay gives you are just, like, they're really great for fantasy. So, like, I mean, if you're looking for like a guy who can give you, you know, if you need a real big boost in three pointers, he's a guy that I would like try to acquire in a league. But like, it's a guy that's like takes a very specific team build to build around, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you. So, all right, let us move on. I guess let's talk a couple of players that we can stream this week, if you want to go that route. I know I think you already hit on a couple. You gave us three or four. Let's talk some other guys. I'm going to give you some names and let me know if any of these guys stand out for you this week. One guy's actually really intriguing to me because, like, when you think fantasy, you really don't think of this guy. That's Amir Johnson. Also, Patrick Beverley, Evan Turner, who's still getting run in Boston as long as Marcus Smart is out. You got Mark's obsession of Clint Capella. You got Kelly Olynyk. So, and I got to mention another guy. And Houston's front court is still not settled. I mean, Terrence Jones is still not getting consistent minutes. So he's another guy that you can possibly stream with this week. Any of those guys kind of stand out to you?
If I'm picking up one guy for this week with four games off this list here on Mark's pickup and stream tab, I'm going for Matt Barnes. He's the number one guy I'm picking up. Number two would probably
– Barnes. That's cheating. We all know to get Barnes.
He's 22% owned, all right? No, apparently people need this drilled in their head. Number two guy I'm going for is Patrick Beverley.
Interesting.
I feel like Patrick Beverley just offers like some stats that it seems like nobody realizes are very valuable. Okay? Like, because he is good at like the defensive stats, which takes less to win anyways. I mean, like, he gives you those 1.3. He's averaging 1.3 steals a game this year. Like, in four games, that is a huge boost, and that can probably win you your week in steals.
I mean, Beverly's always been underrated, especially as a fantasy player. You know, people think of him as a defensive specialist. But anytime, if you're getting, like, over 30 minutes a game, you're going to, like, just, like, fall into some stats. And he does, again, steals, you're right. He's great with steals. And he can hit an open three-pointer, you know, or two if Harden never passes the darn ball. You know, he'll get you an occasional three, four, five assist game. So, like, I'm with you. Beverly, like, he's sneaky and he's always under-owned.
I feel like the you know, he averaged 2.1 threes last year and 1.7 he's averaging this year. I feel like that too. I mean, there's two categories basically. He can pretty much help you single-handedly win if you pick him up for a four-game week.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if people still think for Houston that like Ty Lawson is like on that team, but he's really not. I mean, he's there, but I think he was suspended two games for his DUI the last couple games. But you know, he's really not getting any consistent minutes for that team, and you know they're trying to trade him, quite honestly. So
I feel like if Jason Terry is getting minutes over you at this stage of Jason Terry's career, you are not on the team anymore.
Which leads to a great question. All right, between Jason Terry, Tayshaun Prince, Richard Jefferson, of those three, if you had to have one on your team, who would you have?
For fantasy or for real life basketball?
let's do fantasy, I guess, because this is a fantasy show.
I was going to say Tayshaun Prince for real-life basketball because I feel like he might still be a decent defender.
Oh, he can't move. Have you seen him try to move? Like,
according to Mark's like defensive ratings he was telling me about, Tayshaun Prince is actually still a good defender.
I mean, I think that's Kevin Garnett. I'd be shocked if Tayshaun Prince is. Like.
Maybe I'm misremembering this, but I could have sworn he's told me this. Like, if he was here and not watching Homeland, we'd know right now.
I mean, Homeland, it's just about over, by the way. It's like 3 minutes left in Homeland. So this is like the peak moments of the show. But
you should text him right now and ask him if Tayshaun Prince is a good defender. Like, just to interrupt his last 3 minutes.
I mean, well, first, I guess my first text would be like, does Tayshaun have a pulse? Like, is he even alive? Like, I think if you, like, I think many podcasts ago now, we debated like having like, who would be the, if you're having like a foot race, let's say it was 100 yard dash you had. Who would like be the slowest guys that you'd want to see in that competition? And I think we had like Marc Gasol in there. Who else did we have?
I'd like to see Miles Turner in that when he gets healthy. You ever seen him run?
No, I have not. But that's
a good time.
Al Jefferson should be in that competition. But what I'm saying is I think that
if you set some fried chicken at the end of the race, Al Jefferson would win.
Oh, that, no doubt about that. And then, but I think Tayshaun Prince should be in there as well. Like, honestly, all those guys, like, I don't know what it is about with, like, why coaches are still playing these guys who are, like, 70 years old, like consistent minutes. Because, I mean, even like Richard Jefferson from Cleveland. Now, maybe with Kyrie back, he still won't be getting consistent run, but he was still getting minutes. He actually looked okay last when I saw Richard Jefferson play. But like Tayshaun, he's looked like an absolute mess to me.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, like then again, he's still getting minutes. So these guys, the coaches must be smarter than me. You would hope they have more data than me available. So maybe he's doing something on the court, right? So who knows? But all right, so let's move on. Let's go to a new section of the show. I like to call "Rest in Peace." Z-Bo is one of these players. If you have guys on your team, these players, Tyler, what should you do? And I will give you four of them: Joakim Noah, Alec Burks, Tristan Thompson, Chandler Parsons. Is it time that we bury these poor souls from our rosters, or do we hold on and pray that something changes in the near future?
For Joakim Noah, I feel like I'm holding on just because, I mean, I feel like for a big man, he gives you some really interesting stats. I mean, the assists are huge for a big man. He's actually given you some good rebounds. I mean, if you need points, that would be the only situation where you could think about dropping Joakim Noah. So he's the guy I would keep a hold of. Alec Burks, I would cut him. I mean, I feel like he's basically just a points guy, and he hasn't been scoring many points. So I don't think he's helping your team anywhere, is he?
No, I mean, it sucks. I was hoping, especially when Quinn Snyder started Burks in like two of the last three games for Utah, I thought he'd step it up, you know, not only points, but it'll give you some other production and maybe some assists and rebounds, maybe a couple steals, but he really hasn't done it yet. And I know Mark is very anti on Alec Burks, and I guess I'm to the point too where like it's just not worth to keep him. I still would, if I dropped him, keep an eye on him, because again, if Quinn's going to be starting Burks and giving him 30 minutes, I think he potentially could have some value. But yeah, at this point, I don't think he can hold on to him. And I'm totally with you on Joakim Noah. As long as you don't need points, like, I think you got to keep him. Like first, he can give you like 4 to 5 assists a game, and for a center, like that's just so extremely rare to get. So like I would Joakim Noah is a guy that I would keep.
Now, Chandler Parsons, this is the interesting guy, okay? He's only been getting 21.7 minutes a game so far this season.
How many games has he even played for Dallas?
He's played 20.
And how many has Dallas played?
Dallas has played, let's see here. Dallas has played 27.
Oh, so he's actually played more than I thought, but still. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
But I feel like, you know, I've heard that in January they're supposed to start relaxing his minutes limits. Now, well, I mean, we'll see if that actually happens or not. I mean, he did play 32 minutes in the last game on Friday. So, I mean, that's maybe a good sign of things to come. I feel like if you own him right now, you can't really trade him. So I would keep a hold of him and just hope that the minutes restrictions ease up here in the next few weeks and you can, you know, start getting back some value of where you drafted him at. He was really good for fantasy the last couple of years. So, I mean, I think it's worth – if you've held on to him for this long, you might as well keep holding.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I agree with you. It's just been so frustrating to own that guy. But if you've waited this long, you know, you might as well wait it out and see, like you said, if those minutes – that minute restrictions gets lifted. Like, when he actually plays, even if it's like 24 minutes, I think he still is fantasy relevant. I mean, he can fill up the stat sheet and do a lot of good things on the court. So – I would still hold and then see if those minutes, you know, that minute restrictions can go up, and especially if he can start playing in like back to backs. So, but it's just so frustrating to own that guy. But I guess I'm with you. But that leads me to something else, my man. Now, a little birdie told me, well, actually it wasn't a little birdie. It was you during the pre-show, but you know, you wrote a very interesting article for dailyfantasybasketballpodcast.com. I think you guys should check it out. Go to the website. It's got a lot of good stuff there. But I just want to give you an opportunity, Tyler, to let, you know, for the listeners, is there anything that you want to kind of point out from the article that you think is really relevant?
I'm going to make people go read it, but I'm going to give a good spoiler here, okay? There is a player in the article, if you read it, there's a player who has not been performing to what everyone has been expecting him to perform, but I found some stats, and I think it's going to turn around. So go and check it out. And there's a perfect guy you can buy low on in your leagues and get yourself a nice value on.
Wait, can I mention the guy we discussed pre-show who's been like balling the last month?
No, don't mention him. Let's make people
I'm telling
go.
You guys need to go check out this article. There's a guy who the last month, his stats are just killer. Caught me off guard. I went and I tried to pick him up in a lot of leagues. He was actually available in more leagues than I thought. So you got to go check out this article. It really does have some useful information to help you with your fantasy leagues. So with that, we've mentioned a lot of players in the show. We've mentioned players who we want to use this week, right? Like Patrick Beverley, we mentioned. Guys who we think it's time for their fantasy lives to end, like Zach Randolph. Which leads us to something. No halftime. Hopefully, if you're listening to the show, all you guys know what No Halftime is. It's a one-on-one fantasy basketball app. You got to download the app. Use the promo code BBALL when you download it. You get a free $25. And then you can put any two players together in a matchup head-to-head and win some good money. I'm trying off the top of my head. We could do – how about Joakim Noah versus Alec Burks? Tyler, does that interest you?
If I'm getting Joakim Noah, that interests me.
Really? I think I would actually take Burks. I would do that one with you.
All right, let's do it.
With Noah, because Noah's still only getting like 20 minutes a game. If Burks can start for Utah and get 30, I think that would actually be pretty close.
You do bring up a good point there, but I'm still taking Joe.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm writing that one down. That's a very interesting challenge. So again, though, you guys should use No Halftime again. You can. It's one-on-one, and it's not only for NBA. You can use. I think they even have like NASCAR racing or auto racing. They obviously have NFL, you know, a bunch of different sports. If you don't have the time to research a full slate of DFS, like I try to do every day, which can take 4 to 5, 6 hours, depending on the slate, you know, you can spend 10, 15 minutes, maybe not even that. Just look at a slate of games and pick a couple players you like for that night and win some money. It's really cool stuff. You know, I'm going to take Tyler's money right here, use Alec Burks versus Joakim Noah. I've been crushing Mark all year. So let's do one more, though. So what do you think we got? This is actually one that really intrigues me, and I'll let you take either one. Kyrie coming back now off the injury, or Klay, the best shooting guard in the NBA.
For now, I'm taking Klay. In a couple weeks, when Kyrie gets back to his minutes, I'm definitely taking him.
I will take Kyrie, even if it is this week, just out of my spite for Klay.
I am definitely taking your money now.
Yeah, I think I would lose that one. I'd be in trouble. But then again, if Klay has an off night shooting, maybe he wants to get back with Hannah. He, you know, who knows what's going on? I'm telling you, everyone needs to Google Hannah Stocking. So, all right, we got no halftime.
Use that promo code BBALL, BBALL. Use it. 25 right. Free bucks. You can't beat that.
That brings us, sadly, Tyler, to the end of the show. Obviously, if you enjoy the podcast, first of all, I'm really mad Mark didn't jump on with us. So next show, maybe we can kind of find out, one, what happened in Homeland, and two, where Mark disappeared to after the show. So, but again, if you enjoy the podcast, please, you know, rate, review, and subscribe. It would mean a lot to us. Also, Tyler, you want to plug anything? Where can we find you in the social media universe?
All right, you can find me on Twitter at Watsy4444, and that's Watts like electricity with a Y and then 4 4s.
Very nice. You can find me at DanielAGreen1 on Twitter. You can also go to my website, dgcourtroomdfs.com. If you want to talk some DFS and rest your mind for seasonal for a couple of minutes. And lastly, let us discuss movies. Because normally, if I'm on the show, Mark would not let me discuss movies. But Mark is gone. We still have a final encore discussing movies, Tyler. Give me your either. All right, I'll give you an option. You can either tell me your favorite movie of all time, or the last movie you saw either in theaters or on demand.
All right, the last movie I saw on demand is probably my favorite movie of all time. I've probably seen it like a million times. It was The Shawshank Redemption. I love that movie.
Dude, that is one of my top three favorite movies. Wait, you watched that on demand recently?
Yeah.
Like you paid for it?
No, I get the Comcast cable here and you get like all those like 9 million movies on demand that are like free. It was on there, and I was like, oh, I got to watch this.
Yeah, that is a fantastic movie. Like, yeah, I mean, that's – like me, my favorite – probably my favorite two are Braveheart and then Shawshank for sure. So I'm with you.
Two great movies right there.
So the last movie, though, that I saw on demand was The Last Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise.
Which one is this now? Like how many have there been?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's four. Maybe it's four. But it's still like really good. I mean, I wouldn't call it like, you know, an excellent movie, but it's definitely worth watching. I highly recommend it. I give it 3.5 basketballs out of 4. That's my new ranking system that I just thought of on the, you know, spontaneously on you know.
Was it Rogue Nation?
I think so. I have no idea what this is.
That's the fifth one.
Oh, so there's been 5?
Yeah, this one just got released in July 2015.
Okay, yeah, then it was, yeah, I guess it was that. But it was really good, man. So I'm telling you, go watch Mission Impossible. Maybe how cool would that be if Mission Impossible sponsors the show, sponsors the podcast?
That would be awesome.
Wouldn't it?
Free promo right here. We just gave it to them. Yeah, now hopefully they'll sponsor.
We get like a screening of Mission Impossible for us and all the viewers, all the listeners, I should say. That would be fantastic.
That would be awesome.
All right, my man. We should now end the show. So, again, if you could rate, review, subscribe, that'd be fantastic. Otherwise, guys, good luck in your fantasy games this week. I hope you dominate, and we will see you later. Bye, guys.